Hey, everybody, this is Paul Green, and I am the next guest on Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
We are back so quickly with another edition of On Screen and Beyond. This is episode 609 of the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week, or this time on Screen and Beyond, I know I had told you that we probably won't have anything around Thanksgiving, but we are. Here we are. We do got the opportunity to have a guest with us. Paul Green is going to be joining us. He has a new movie, or a couple of movies, actually, a Christmas movie coming out called I'm Glad It's Christmas, and that comes out on November 26th on Great American Families Network. And then on December 4th, Fit for Christmas on Paramount Plus. So he's going to be doing that, and we had to get those out right off. And you might remember him as Dr. Carson Shepherd on When Calls the Heart on the Hallmark Channel. So Paul Green is coming up in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. I know, like I said, we said we probably wouldn't have anything because of the holidays, but that's the way it goes. We are just moving along here with more and more. And we will not have one on Sunday, but we will have a great interview coming your way on Monday after the holiday. And it's one I would been digging around to get, and we got the opportunity to do it. So we have a couple coming your way when I thought I was going to have none. So anyways, why don't we get right into it? We got a lot of things to get into as far as remakes and everything else. It's time for Remake Madness right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try
again. Remake Madness. Well, it looks like Ryan Gosling will star in a big screen remake of the 1980s TV show The Fall Guy, which starred Lee Majors, who was a past guest here at On Screen and Beyond. So you can go back into our archives and you can hear Lee Majors right here. $6 Million Man, The Fall Guy, all of that. It was a guest, and you can check that out in our rerun section. And also, that's going to be coming your way. That new remake of a big screen film of that with Ryan Gosling will be coming out on March 1st, 2024. And the remake of Escape from New York from 1981 will be led by the filmmakers of Scream. And that's it for Remake Madness. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies, April 21st, Michael Fassbender, Elizabeth Moss, and Will Arnett will star in a soccer comedy drama called Next Goal Wins, and Angelica Houston will return as the evil crime boss called The Director in the John Wick spinoff Ballerina. And Channing Tatum, he's going to star in a film called Red Shirt, and the word is it's putting a new spin on James Bond. That's it for upcoming new movies next on Screen and Beyond, sequels.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Sequels. It looks like 2018 Searching with John Cho has a sequel coming called Missing. And in January, Megan, that's spelled M3GAN, comes out, but Universal is already discussing a sequel to that horror film. And Stranger Things' Josh Quinn, who played Eddie, the guitar player, has joined the cast of the A Quiet Place Day One prequel. And that's it for sequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, Let's take a peek at what's coming away as far as TV on DVD. TV on DVD, Tales of the Walking Dead complete first season comes our way on December 20th on DVD and Blu-ray. House of the Dragon, the complete first season, comes our way on December 20th on Blu-ray, DVD, and 4K. And on December 13th, Players Season 1 slams onto DVD and Blu-ray. And that's it for TV on DVD. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, what's coming your way as far as movies on DVD? Movies on DVD, Paradise City with John Travolta and Bruce Willis arrives on December 20th on DVD and Blu-ray. Also on December 20th, Secret Headquarters with Owen Wilson lands on Blu-ray and DVD. And December 13th, Cole Hauser stars in The Minute You Wake Up Dead, hits Blu-ray and DVD. And that's it for Movies on DVD. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it's TV and Entertainment Time. TV and Entertainment Time on December 22nd, Top Gun Maverick with Tom Cruise flies onto Paramount Plus. Brandy will return as Cinderella once again in a Descendants prequel called The Pocket Watch. And part of Indiana Jones 5 will feature a digitally de-aged Harrison Ford. And we can see it on June 30th, 2023. And that's it for TV and Entertainment Time. Coming up next at On Screen and Beyond, we are going to have Dr. Carson Shepherd here. He, of course, was on When Calls the Heart on the Hallmark Channel. And Paul Green, his real name. And he is having two Christmas or holiday movies coming out. And one will be on the Great American Families Network. And it's called I'm Glad It's Christmas. And then, that's on November 26th, then on December 4th on Paramount Plus, you can catch him on Fit for Christmas. And Paul Green, coming up next, right here on Screen and Beyond.
You may recognize our guest today on Screen and Beyond for his roles in Wicked Wicked Games, or Bitten, or numerous holiday films over the past few years. On Saturday, November 26, he will be in Great America Family's holiday film, I'm Glad It's Christmas, and then on Sunday, December 4th, in Fit for Christmas on Paramount Plus. And you may also know him as Dr. Carson Shepherd from Hallmark Channel's When Calls the Hearts. It's Paul Green. Paul, welcome to On Screen and Beyond.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Well, Paul, it's great to have you on here. And, you know, it's that time of year. Christmas movies and holiday movies are popping up like crazy. And you've done your fair share of those.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to be in a what's a baker's dozen? Just one less than a baker's dozen, I guess. I think I have 11 or 12 of these holiday type, mostly Christmas, I'd say. Yeah, I haven't done, I'm trying to think if I've done like a Hanukkah movie, not yet. Or Kwanzaa. No, I think it's been mostly Christmas. Yeah, it's pretty awesome, man. It's what's better than bringing people the cheer and the, everyone loves Christmas. Like in most people, there's the odd person where I think it reminds them maybe of someone they lost, but there's always a good smattering of nostalgia and good memories around Christmas time. And so to be a part of these movies, that knowing it gets piped into people's living rooms and just the joy, knowing it brings so much joy and connection, brings families together when I feel like everything in this world is ripping families apart from the media and the news and politics or whatever, religion, you name it. Everything's pulling people apart. I feel like these movies have a chance to kind of bring people together, which I love.
Yeah, that's great. Now, let us get an idea of what these films are about. First off, let's start off with the one that's coming up on Saturday, November 26th, I'm Glad It's Christmas. So let us know what that one's about.
Well, I'm Glad It's Christmas is on Great American Family, and so that's... And it is, there's a lot of music in this movie, which, and it's really cool music and special because Gladys Knight from Midnight Train to Georgia and Gladys Knight and the Pimps. Like, she's in it, and she's not just like kind of in it. She's really in it. Like, she's acting, she's singing. She's in a solid third of the movie. She's got a lot to do. And then of course, Jessica Lowndes from 90210, and she's done a bunch of these romantic comedy movies in the past as well. She's in it, and our characters are both in the music business. I play Jason Murphy, and she plays Chloe Bose, and we meet in these romantic comedies. There's always a meet cute here, Brian, and it's always like you'll look like, how do they meet, right? And usually they run into each other somewhere around a blind corner or in an elevator or on the street. So we have actually a couple meet cutes in this, which is funny. And then our characters instantly like each other, but there's tons of obstacles. She's been trying to make it on Broadway for 5 years. And if she doesn't make it in these next auditions, she's leaving town. And then Gladys Knight's character is trying to save the small community by bringing back this 100-year tradition of a Santa's Lane, like a Christmas show that brings the community together. So there's lots of comedy in this, and there's lots of almost romances and near misses, and just, it's paced really beautifully, shot really beautifully, and it's, I think it's written really, really well too. So I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Wow, sounds good. Now, you say Gladys sings in the film, and you're playing a musician. Are you singing in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My character is a jingle writer, and so I write the song. My character writes the song that Jessica performs in the movie, and then Gladys sings on that song as well. We're actually trying to release that for Christmas, Jessica and I. I don't think I'll have Gladys on it. That's a bit of a bigger fish, but we're working on finding a way to release it. It's called Christmas Feels Like Falling in Love, and it's a really hooky, catchy song.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we all sing on it. And there's a bunch of little things. It's not by no means a musical. It's 99% acting, and then there's a few songs here and there. But it's very music-centric. And, Mike, you know, I got to use my guitar. I got to play the piano. I got to a lot of musical moments. And I'm always looking for that because I enjoy nothing. I love playing and performing and singing just almost as much as I like acting. They're kind of hand in hand. And if I had to choose, I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, with your acting talent and your music talent, it's all performing. I mean, it's, you know, that's just the way it is. It's you're out in front of people.
Yeah. And, you know, I like to look at it a little different than performing, because performance almost has that, performance, the word itself,
like
drives
fake.
Me. Well, performance means you're putting on an act, kind
yeah.
of. And like, what I really try to do is bring as much of myself to the music and to the acting so that people are taken on a journey with me. And so I've failed if it's all about me. And that's what I feel like performing sometimes is, like, look at me, I'm performing. And whereas the type of acting I do and the type of singing I do, I really try to create a bit of a journey and an experience that people can get transported and escape a little bit, like escape from their day to day. And then at the end of it, they're transformed a little bit. Like they have just a slightly different way of looking at things. That's kind of what that's my reason behind why I do it. That lights me up. Just performing, that gets pretty empty pretty quick.
Yeah. I can understand that. So how did you get involved with this film?
Well, they asked me to do it. So Bill, the head of GAC, I've known him for years from Hallmark, and he reached out to me. And then Brad Cravoy is one of the other producers who produced my show, When Calls the Heart, that I was on for half a decade. Brad was a producer of that, and Brad's also produced five or six of other of my romantic comedy movies. So I just knew all the people, and they reached out, and I was like, and when I heard the cast and I had a look at the script, it was like, yeah, this sounds awesome. And the scheduling was really hard because I was just finished filming in Vancouver another movie that I believe we're going to talk about. And I have a new baby son. So like trying to squeeze in two Christmas movies while my 10-month-old is, you know, just finding his steps is a bit of a challenge. And I'm also filming a third movie in around these two movies, a film that was called Jaguar, My Love, but now it's called Autumn and the Jaguar. So it's a theatrical release. It's a feature film that takes place over 2 years while we wait for the baby jaguar to grow up. So I have three projects that I'm trying to squeeze into this crazy 3 months leading up to Christmas, or 4 months, which has been challenging to say the least, and invigorating, of course.
Wow. And congratulations on your son.
Thanks.
Yeah. And you're busy between all that, the filming and having a young one. That's pretty busy. I know how that is.
Yeah, I have a team, man. Like I have help. I there's no way I could do it alone. I have a really, really strong team on the back end and on the beside me, and of course my partner Kate, my wife, and I have a, you know, family is the most important thing to me. So it's like, how do I prioritize to keep those things at the front while still being able to deliver the best job I can with these other projects too? So yeah, it's wild, but it's things kind of happen like that. During COVID, it was certainly quieter, and so it's just almost like this, and everyone's catching up, it seems.
Yeah. How was it working with Gladys Knight? I mean, you know, you weren't around when she had her monster hits, you know, back then. You're just a baby, so.
Yeah, it was cool. Like you said, I don't have a lot of reference to who she is other than obviously the Gladys Knight and the Pips, and then also the hearing A Midnight Train to Georgia and knowing her name, but not knowing her music really. I mean, I recognize a couple of the songs, but it's just awesome to work with a legend, somebody who has risen so high inside of such a unique in time, and so much history there, and her stories, and she had a lot of wisdom, and she was funny, really funny, and so present and just beautiful. It was wonderful. And she's a stunning human being. Just does not look her age. She looks 60s maybe, and I think she might be looking around 80 or late 70s. She is phenomenally kept herself, and it very natural too. It's not like she's been made up a lot. She looks phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Then on Sunday, December 4th, you're going to be on Paramount Plus with Fit for Christmas. So give us an idea about that one. What's that one about?
Well, so Fit for Christmas came to me a little differently. Where was I when I heard about that one? Again, Brad Kervoy, who produced One Cause a Heart, was a producer on this as well. So, which I always like working with him because his movies always look the best on the, especially on the back end, like, and just he really knows how to make a movie come to the screen. And Fit for Christmas was with Amanda Kloots. Now her and she, Amanda Kloots, during COVID, she had lost her husband, Nick, to COVID, and it was very public about the journey. And so most of America followed her, let's wake Nick up. And there was a big social media around him because he was in a coma. And she ended up losing her husband during COVID. And I remember hearing the story, but I didn't follow it closely. And then when I found out it was Amanda and I met her on Zoom, she was in Italy or she was somewhere. And we had this chemistry read and with the director, just to see, because it was for CBS, which I had worked for in the past with for other TV shows, and I think CSI is on CBS. I think so. I got to double check my IMDb. Yeah, it is. Okay, yep. Good. And is NCIS on CBS too?
Yep, all of those CIS.
Oh, they're all on CBS. Okay, so I've had a good to know. So I've had my I've been on the network, but not leading something that's so, because these are an old tradition, but that they're bringing back. And there's only a couple other ones this year, so there. If I felt really special to be a part of, you know, a network that's been around for so long, and the script was great, and it's based a little bit on Amanda's life and as a fitness instructor. And there's just so many. There's so, and this one is really fast and really funny. And the writer is Anna White, who's written a dozen Christmas movies. And she wrote my last year's Christmas movie I did called Christmas CEO. And I wanted to work with her again because she's just the best and super funny. And so she was our writer. And yeah, there's just lots of cool things that came together to make this thing amazing.
Yeah. Are you singing in this one?
Not really. Not like, no, not in the way I tried. I have my guitar with me on every set and always there. I'm singing, but not on the screen. I don't think so. Anyway.
Yeah, working on these films, how fast of a turnaround were these films? Because I presume, and maybe I'm wrong, but holiday movies, I presume, are done quickly, because I'm sure they're, you know, they got to get ready for Christmas. So, are they quicker than a normal movie?
Well, it depends. I mean, some features are done in 30 days or 45 days. Some features take a year. These are always 14, sometimes 15 days of filming. And sometimes we're working 80-hour weeks if we do 6-day weeks. So, wow. Yeah, it's they're fast, and the days are long, and you become like a family very quick, because everybody has, I think that's one of the things I love about doing these, is you have this goal and it's 15 days away, and you almost like you're starting with the end in mind and you work backwards from it, which is a really unique way of doing a project. And you're like, okay, we know we have to get this done today, or we're going to be in trouble trying to get that done on other days. So everyone's, you know, single-mindedly focused to moving this thing past this ball into the end zone, so to speak. And at the end of it, it's like serious camp vibes. Like you don't want to miss people. Those last 2 days can be emotional, because it's so heightened, and it's so, you're all really on the same team, and there's so much congruency and synchronicity, and your hearts are open to one another, and it's wild. It can be. I mean, I've had mostly that experience, whether it's with the crew or the director or the other castmates or my co-star or hair makeup. It's like at the end of it, you're this family, and you go, how did we go this long without knowing each other? And then 2 weeks later, you're on another one, or a month later, and you're, it's so hard to keep in touch because everyone else is on another one. So yeah. It's a wild ride, and I'm very grateful to be given this gift and this opportunity to tell these kind of stories. And a big part of it is the film family, and I'm away from my real family, so you really pray that your film family can kind of make up some of the aching that's along with being away from like a newborn, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it does.
Now, is it a lot different doing the movies compared to When Calls the Heart, where you're, I mean, you know, 5 years you were on that show. That's quite a long run.
It's very different. I mean, that's an ensemble. When Calls the Heart's an ensemble. There's 8 leads, 10 leads sometimes. Like there's a few guest stars here and there. So it's a massive cast, and itty bitty storylines that kind of like just carve their way through the year, whereas these movies are the whole storyline. Like you're the only storyline, so the responsibility is way greater. I would say, and the work is 10 times more, because on the series there's There's weeks where you'll only work two or three days out of the six or out of the five, depending on the filming week. So, yeah, they're different. They're very different. And they're, you know, obviously, When Calls a Heart was a period piece, so less comedy. There's some comedy in it, but it's not necessarily written for my character, Carson. Whereas the movies, they're romantic comedies, and they're, which I love digging my teeth in. And I like being incredibly playful. And Carson, my character on One Calls a Heart, didn't have as much natural room for that. I had to bring a little bit more of the weight of what he had been through to it. Whereas the romantic comedies are just, let's let it rip and take everybody for a ride, which I love.
You do a lot of the romantic comedies and things like that, but I can picture you doing, like an action film too. Just seeing you on the screen, I can picture you doing that. I don't know why.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, I try to stay in as good a shape as I can. I think we're always taking different martial arts and taking dance lessons and salsa and tango. Like, you as an actor, I feel like it's my job to be ready for when I do get the call and they're like, okay, we need you to do this Jason Bourne type thing. Can you fight? And I'll be able to be like, well, I'm not pro, but I do have studied, the Krav Maga and a little bit of jiu-jitsu and a little bit of taekwondo. Like, to be able to be like, I can look like I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
And can you dance? I'm like, well, I've taken tango salsa and I've had to dance for a few projects. So I'm ready, man. Like, yeah, I thank you. I appreciate that. And I think it's just my job to be ready for when that opportunity comes to go, yep, I'm your guy. Let's go.
Yeah.
You're in good hands.
Have you ever done a picture or a movie or TV show or whatever, and they asked you to do something, like, I don't know, ride a horse, and you've never ridden a horse, but you say, sure, I can ride a horse, that type of thing?
Oh, that's funny, Ryan. I do ride horses. I fortunately grew up around them, but so not the horse, but dancing. Like, I've been asked before, can you dance? And I've been like, sure. And then you get there, and it's a pretty elaborate, like for David Kelly, there was this, I had to do this very elaborate tango for a show called Wedding Bells that was on briefly, but it was really cool because it allowed me to do some other stuff with David, like Harry's Law. And also had another opportunity with David Kelly that was really special. So I had to learn to tango for that one. And fortunately, they hired a teacher, and my co-star and I learned this elaborate thing. And I still use those moves in every movie. So it's where it shows the characters dancing. I have the same spin, the same dip, the same thing. I'm like, it's in my muscle memory. I can't dance without doing it because we practice so hard.
Yeah. Now, have you always wanted to be an actor?
Fun. It's a great question. I guess I've always, my mom says from the youngest age, I would stand up like on the church pews and sing so everyone could like hear me. Or I was a drummer in a church at a very young age. I think at 12 or 13, I was the drummer in our adult worship team. I was the drummer. And so I've always been on stage, and then in all the drama, drama in church plays. But I was also so into sports that I dreamed of being a professional, an Olympic and professional volleyball player. So I went to college on a volleyball scholarship. Didn't even join the drama team at college. I did in high school, but I snuck in the back door because they were kind of the smokers and headbangers. The drama team hung out in the same entrance to the school as all the headbangers and the pots, or like the cigarette smokers. But the jocks, which I was one of, entered in the other door by the gym. So when I would sneak into my drama classes, I would try not to let my athlete friends see it. So I would always like sneak in the other way. And yeah, so I don't know. What made me want to be an actor was I had a dream that I was fighting in a martial arts movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme, because I had seen Bloodsport, and I wasn't allowed to watch. I grew up very religious. My first movie was Chariots of Fire. Somehow I watched the first Batman, and then my neighbor friend showed me Bloodsport, and I was just enraptured with martial arts and I started to take martial arts. But then I also would wake up on the farm in the dream with Jean-Claude Van Damme on set, and they would yell, cut, and I'd wake up. And so it was literally this. And there's no reason. I wouldn't even know what set looked like. There's no internet. I never watched a TV show that showed me behind the scenes of anything. We didn't even have TV. So it was almost like a foreshadowed, I don't even know how I would know what a set was, but I would wake up and then want to be back in my dream acting on this. But it was acting on set. It wasn't like I was watching myself in the movie. I was watching myself behind the scenes. And then anyway, within a year, I got my license and drove myself to an acting school at 16 years old in Edmonton at Daryl Mork's studio. And then I loved that. It was school for film and television, but then sports took over again. And then somebody discovered me for modeling and sent me around the world for a decade to every country. I think I've lived in 27 countries. Wow. And around the world, though, I was always taking acting classes and doing commercials. Like I have 100 TV commercials that I've done to date. And every day I was on set doing a commercial would remind me of my dream. And I was like, I've got to get to LA. So when my son was born, I was living in New York for a decade. And my first son, who's now 19, was born in New York. I was like, okay, we got to get to LA or this dream's never going to happen. And I was 30 at the time. So I left my modeling career at the very, very top. I had a really blessed and fortunate, really strange career, because I worked for J. Crew and Tommy Hilfiger and Land's End and L.L. Bean and Macy's. And I had about five or six of these clients that literally used me every day. I think I was working 275 days a year for those clients, and Saks and Neiman Marcus and those people.
That's a good thing.
But all, it was a good thing, but it was hard to leave when it wasn't fulfilling. But I was always in school. So in New York, I was studying with Uta Hagen and Stella Adler and Black Susan Batson at Black Nexus. So when I finally moved to L.A., my first son was 6 months old, and I was 30 years old. So that was 18 years ago. I moved to L.A. with zero credits and a newborn baby, and I switched careers, and I took a big risk.
Wow. Huh. So how did you get squeeze in the music stuff? I mean, Paul, you do music too, so how'd you squeeze that into it?
It was always there. I brought my guitar everywhere. Originally, it was a bit of a ministry. I wanted people to like hear about God, so I would sing on like the subway trains as a part of our choir and different churches in Europe. I would play everywhere on the trains or and I was writing my own songs too, but also singing some traditional songs and some Leonard Cohen songs. And I always had my guitar, and was always looking for like a way to record it. So I found, like in London, I found a engineer in a bar, and he recorded some of my demo for me. And just, nice. It's just always been there. I never went anywhere without my guitar, and along the way recorded different albums. But it wasn't really till the pandemic. I did a Christmas movie, funny enough, with that's called Buttons, and Tim Janis is the director, and in the movie was the woman from Murder, She Wrote. I'm just blanking on her name. She just passed.
Angela
Lansbury. And Dick, yes, and Jane Seymour and Dick Van Dyke was in this, and Robert Redford and also Kate Winslet. And so this Tim Janis loved my holiday movies and made me an offer that I couldn't refuse. So I did this really cool part in this movie, but at the end I told him I sing, and he had played him a YouTube video of me singing Hallelujah, and he said, do you want to do that at Carnegie Hall? And this was 5 years ago now, or 4 years ago, and I was like, are you kidding me? Yes. And so there's a video on YouTube of me singing Hallelujah at Carnegie with 200 choir and 100 symphony for Kate Winslet's Autism Foundation. And when I got off the stage, I had so much, I guess, magic in my veins from that concert hall that I quickly recorded an album I was like, okay, this has to be in my life more. So I recorded an album within 3 months and then released it. And then the pandemic happened and I started doing live streams. So almost three times a week was playing live. And to date, I've done 500 live streams since the first one in 2020. So that's like, it's at least three a week.
Wow.
And so I just squeeze it in, man. I just put up my camera, play some songs, and do my best to squeeze it in.
Well, you know, it's funny when you say that, they asked you, do you want to sing at Carnegie Hall? It's like, how many people would say, nah, I don't want to do that?
Well, I just finished the David Grohl book called Storytellers, which is really cool. And they asked him to do Blackbird at the Academy Awards, and he was going to say no.
Really?
Because it's very, it's very vulnerable. It's just him and a guitar for the in memoriam. It's on YouTube. But his daughter had just sung Blackbird. So he's like, if my daughter could perform Blackbird for her school with me playing guitar, I could do it. And the daughter's the one that said, you have to do it. So I don't know. I think there'd be people who would turn it down because it's intimidating. It was above my skill level at the time, but I was like, hired a vocal coach and sang my heart out for 3 months leading up to it. And, I know Hallelujah very well. I've always played that song. But it changed my musical trajectory was the Carnegie Hall and Tim Janis and Kate Winslet. Like that changed my focus. And I said, okay, this is like, I absolutely 100% need to have this as a big part of my gift and of my give back and also just the pure joy of music for me.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I know we're getting close to the end of the time, but I'd like to finish up with one final question. But before I ask you that, just want to remind everybody that on this Saturday, November 26th, that they can catch you on Great American Family's holiday film, I'm Glad It's Christmas. And then on December 4th, Fit for Christmas on Paramount Plus, and I'm sure they're going to show them over and over, I would imagine, or streaming so they can just get it. I want to ask you the final question is, when you sit back and relax, and I know from talking with you here, you don't relax very often, but when you do, what's your favorite TV shows now and of the past, and what's your favorite movies now and of the past?
Oh, my goodness. okay, my favorite TV shows, we've been watching Welcome to Wrexham because it's just such a surprising thing that Ryan Reynolds did. Mm-hmm. Purchased a football club. We also watched, I guess, Game of Thrones a little bit back. I love putting on, I love putting on Seinfeld sometimes. And in the past, I think growing up was like Fall Guy and like this helicopter one. I think there was a called Airwolf or
yes.
something. And then, yeah. The $6 million man, like I grew up in the 70s or I was born in 74. So, I can't believe I get to do, I used to watch like on Neighbors TV. We had a satellite eventually in my teens so we could see some stuff, but I grew up without TV for about till I was 12. So, I get excited still in this. I can't believe I have to pinch myself. I get to make movies and get to make TV shows and stuff. I freaking love it.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and good luck with your films.
Thanks so much. And if people want to follow me at paulgreen.com, how you spell my name, everything's there. You can, all my social media, and I have an email list and a text service, and then there's like a schedule of all the things coming out because I have four projects happening for a film at once. And so paulgreen.com, and everything is there. And then if they want to follow the music journey that's there, there's a transformational program my wife and I coach together called Freedom Alchemist. That's there. So hopefully people, if they want to follow, it's pretty easy on my website. They can reach all my social that way.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Paul.
No problem. That was fantastic. Thanks. Thanks so much.
And a big shout out going to Paul Green for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond and sharing about his holiday movies that are coming out, like I said earlier, November 26th on Great American Families Network. You can catch I'm Glad It's Christmas, And then on, he's everywhere, on Paramount Plus on December 4th, Fit for Christmas. So you can check out Paul Green on those, and he's got so much stuff coming up. It's unbelievable, and we got to keep our eye out on him. And thank him for joining us here and sharing with us right here on Screen and Beyond. Well, I hope you're all going to have a fantastic Thanksgiving. And we will not be back on Sunday evening. And I promise that because, like I said earlier, we weren't going to do anything this weekend at all. But then we had these opportunities come up and I just couldn't miss them. And we thank them for hooking us up with Paul and everything. But we also will do a show on Monday, all right? Instead of Sunday, we'll have it on Monday. So we've got a guest coming our way who's going to bring back some memories for you, okay? It's a musical guest, and we'll let you know who that is coming up on Monday when you hopefully will be tuning in to On Screen and Beyond. As you're doing, going back to work or shopping or whatever you're doing, you can listen to On Screen and Beyond. Go back and listen to all our episodes, over 600 episodes sitting there waiting for you to listen to these people tell their own stories, tell about their life, how they got into the business, different shows, music, whatever they're doing. And we can hear it all from them right here on Screen and Beyond. So I hope you'll enjoy that. Tell a friend about On Screen and Beyond. And like us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all those other ones. And wherever you're getting your episodes of On Screen and Beyond, whatever podcast provider, whether it be Apple or Google or Amazon or Spotify or wherever, hope you'll leave a review there. Hope you're enjoying the show. Give us a 5-star review maybe. And also turn around and tell a friend and get the word out. We appreciate that very much. And that's it. That's a wrap for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemrak. Take care.